Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Okay, we're doing the session and scoreboard check on a Tuesday. You sure? All right. Week 39 of 50. It's just the story. The session plus scoreboard check. It's 9:20 p.m. on Wednesday, September 29th. I've got a shield on. I've got a glass of Dos Equis. And I'm sitting in a Bellagio 2-5 game waiting for 5:10. I forgot to mention in the lead out yesterday that before I went to video poker right across from the poker room, you know, to prepare for my session, to digest my meal with a Crown and Diet and then order that Dos Equis that I have now, I stopped by registration and I got a brand new shield. I actually got dropped off at the entrance closest to registration instead of the North Valet because I knew I needed a new shield because I'm a shield man. Okay, so I come in the big blind. Is that smart to do? Well, depends. If you're looking at everything purely from a EV perspective in the moment, no, you don't have to post in 2-5, I don't think. So you just come in behind. But if you're looking at I only live once, fuck it, let's go, let's gamble, yeah, you should. And I came in the big blind, right? And it folded around, and the small blind said, you want to chop? And I said, sure. And now it's time for my best play, the second hand dealt to me. I am now the small blind. I have 8-4 suited, and I'm watching the action through my shield, you know, and sipping on my Dos Equis. And the hijack opens and he's weak. I can just tell. I've been around long enough to know a weak open versus a strong open versus something in between. And anyways, he's weak and the cutoff calls. He's also weak. It folds to me in the small blind and I fold my 8-4 suited. So it's one of those things that I need to work on is not going for it every single time I know people are weak because a couple things at work here. This is a $500 cap game, so we're not deep at all, and just because they're weak doesn't mean they fold, and my hand sucks. 8-4 suited, out of position, especially. You don't want to build a pot with that hand, and I just sat down, and everything about me says gambler to the table, well, because I am a fucking gambler. So folding is just the play here, and I guess I could have put in the $3, but that hand's just such dog shit, and the small blind's the worst spot. I don't know. It's my best play. It's very simple, but if you've been listening to this podcast for all 4 seasons, I just typically pounce anytime I think people are weak, and sometimes I forget, oh, my hand sucks to do it with out of position. It's, you know, if I have fucking king 4 here, it's different, but 8-4 is just so bad, and I don't know. It's just something I'm working on, so I called it my best play, and so I folded that, I folded my button, I folded the next one. So I came in on the big blind, and I folded all the way to my straddle. And I put my straddle out there now. And you know, I ordered the waitress comes by, and I already have a glass that has about half of a Dos Equis in it from the video poker bar right next to the sports book, right across from the poker room. And I ordered a sugar-free Red Bull with Kettle One, splash of soda. And I got my straddle out there, and I'm starting to feel like me again. I have this was me most of my career. This is my drink late at night. It's not even late at night yet, but it's I'm just starting to feel like me a little bit again. I believe if there is a season 5 of Sessions, you'll hear me return to form all the way to where I'm playing bigger and I'm playing really well and I'm building these amazing games. And, you know, if I'm playing as tough players, I'll be playing sober. And if I'm not, I'll be having fun with people. And what I'm just starting to feel like me, just, you know, do you want to wait for the button to pass? No, I'm coming in now, here's my $5, right? And then fold my hands, and then I'm also going to straddle. No one else is straddling. And it's not like I'm trying to put the straddle on in this game, because I don't plan on being in this 2-5 for very long. I'm going to 5-10 as soon as they call me, and they have 9 million games, because the World Series of Poker is, it's the World Series of Poker Eve. And anyways, but I will straddle, and I'll order a cocktail. It's a little bit bad for me. When you get my age, 47 years old, you shouldn't be having much energy drinks, but sometimes you got to have one, and I don't know. I'm just starting to feel like me a little bit. And anyways, there are three limps, and I look down in my straddle, and it's pocket aces. And I wrote in my notes, oh, hey. And I go to $50. I just 5X. I would 6X. It doesn't matter. I don't have to be balanced here. I'm only going to play a few hands at this table. It doesn't matter. Anyways, I go to 50, and I get two calls. Okay. If we're deeper, I might go bigger. We're not deep. And so, you know, you can only buy in for 100 big blinds. And when the straddle on is on like it is, that's only 50 big blinds. Anyways, I go to 50. I get two calls. It comes 6-6-4, and it is black. And that means there's a flush draw out there. And with two opponents, if I bet it's going to look a little too strong, I like having two opponents when I need to bluff. I don't like it when I'm going for value, so I opt to check here. I check, the next person checks, and the next guy bets 40, just a weak bet, and I just call. I want to, you know, represent ace high, and the other person folds. And the turn's a red queen, and I check, and this person checks. And I don't think they have much at all. I think they have a little pair, maybe a four, maybe a little pocket pair. They can't call if I bet the turn. They couldn't call a check raise on the flop. And they probably couldn't even call a continuation bet. Well, the river is another six. So now whatever little pair they have made a boat. So it's 6-6-4, queen, six. And now I bet 140. And they think and don't like it. And they throw the chip in. And my hand is obviously good. Six is full of aces. So that's nice. And I get called for 5-10. That's also nice. Let me take a sip of coffee. I don't know if that's nice or not. We'll see. Very nice sip of coffee. Okay. So I go to a 5-10 table, and it's right outside of Bobby's room. Okay. And I look inside Bobby's room, and I see all these guys that I used to play, that I used to battle with. And I always liked my side. And even when I was spiraling down to rock bottom, which, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that that took 4 years, from 2013 to 2017. And some sessions, I really didn't play well. But even during that time, I felt I liked my side a lot in these games, especially when they're shorthanded. And these guys that didn't have to go through this huge crisis in their life and they manage their money and whatever, they're in Bobby's room now and they're playing in a game that looks amazing. And 100% the game I'm in, I'll tell you about in a second, is the toughest game in the room. 100%. And this game in Bobby's room, which is much bigger, I think they were playing 5,100. So it's 10X the stakes, and it's probably like a three times better game at least. And that's just the way it goes. And there's the guy in there from France with two watches. I think he's like a vlogger now or something. I'm not sure. I always liked him, but I remember him at some of my lowest moments. I remember, you know, battling shorthanded with him in different places, and I was just like really on the brink of hitting rock bottom, and you know, Stu and all these other guys in there. And it's just a note. And in my game, I said was the toughest game in the room. I'm 47 years old, which isn't young. I don't think it's that old. I'm the oldest player in my 5-10 game by 20 years. I'm the oldest player by 20 years. Holy shit. That just tells you the World Series is back. All these guys are here from different countries and whatnot, and the borders are open, and they're here, and they're gonna three bet a shit ton, and this is my game. And I, you know, there's a couple 10-20s that I already walked by when I took a piss, and those look better than my game too. And this is, you know, this is opportunity cost. Not having money, you're playing in a 5-10 game. It's nice that I'm playing this instead of 2-5, but really the 10-20 is better. And then the 5,100 is even better than that. I don't know. So Those are just some notes I was taking when I sat down, and I played three hands well, and I was stuck tiny, and there was nothing special about them, and I don't know. So the next note is the dealer is telling bad beat stories, and you know, some people think, how can I put this the right way? So a lot of people think dealers get mistreated, and a lot of dealers do get mistreated. And people overcompensate for this by sparking up conversations with them at the table. And it's not like, I'm not against that because I think like, oh, I'm above a dealer. I'm not. Every dealer working has more money than I do. I'm not above anyone in life or below anyone in life. But the way it works is, they should be pitching the cards and keeping the game going quickly. And if they're engaged in conversations, they're going to make some mistakes, which I don't care that much about, but they're going to slow the game down. And now someone has a guy telling them about bad beat stories and, you know, with like getting tipped and whatnot. It's just bad. It's fucking bad. I don't like it. It's going to make me take a sip of my sugar-free Rebel Kettle One splash of soda and just breathe, right? It's just slowing the game down. And then I get in a pot and I whiff against the Israeli Tom Middleton. It's just this guy that I've played with several World Series of Pokers, and he's probably, you know, mid-20s now, and he's just very charismatic. It reminds me of Tom Middleton, but he's from Israel. And I order another cocktail, same one, you know, Red Bull and vodka, but the healthy variety. And then we got an actual hand history with some detail to it, which many of you are here for. Okay, so Annie's twin brother, I straddle, and Annie, her twin brother, forceful, opens to 60 on the button. And who's Annie's twin brother? I don't know. It's just this kid with very pale skin and curly red hair. And he opens the button to 60, right? And I have queen four offsuit. I'm the straddle. I'm the only one straddling in this game as well. I don't give a shit. I got to live my life. And I will be trying to get the straddle on in this game if the game can get better. It's horrible right now. It's unplayable. And it's not that everyone's great, but there's no one's, like, they're just all, they all know what to do pre-flop, and that's enough to make it a shit game. Anyways, this guy knows to try and steal the $35 that's out there. It's 5, 10, 20. I'm the 20. And it's Annie's twin brother. Just some pale kid and, you know, some freckles and curly red hair. But if he just opens a 60, he probably comes from the internet where, you know, you don't have to disguise your tells and whatnot. And anyways, a forceful open is a weak open. And it folds to me. And I have queen four obviously, and I straddled. And now I just look at the kid and I make it 240. Just 4x. I think he's going to call a lot. I don't want to make it too much because I'm happy if he calls and then I get to win on a bunch of boards. And he calls, I have queen four offsuit out of position. It comes ace jack five, all clubs. I bet 140 and he snap folds. So did I get lucky? He didn't flop anything? Sure. But I was just gonna, I didn't flop anything either. So those are good situations. And that's, you know, all right. It's a nice little pot for a horrible hand. And now I make a good fold with king jack suited preflop to a three bet. And that's, what does that mean? It means back in the day, if there's a three bet in front of you, you just look at king jack suited and fold it. Not today. Not in today's game, because people are three betting so wide. I four bet that hand a lot, but I just, even though it was against a very wide three better, I just had to read that it was a big hand and I folded it, and it turned out to be a big hand. Okay. So then I open pocket deuces in this fucking dead game. It's a dead fucking game. They're all early 20s. They all play poker for a living or want to play poker for a living. And anyways, I open pocket deuces and none of them are drinking. I'm the only one drinking. And I get two callers and I flop. And as most of you know, when you don't flop a set with pocket deuces, it's just not a good hand to barrel with, because it just has almost no equity again when it's beat. It's just, you know, you'd rather just have undercards or whatever. It's just really hard to bink a set after if you don't flop it. So whatever, I lose. And the next note is I get rivered by a robot. And that just means someone who is very robotic, obviously. And that's not even a diss. I used to not be able to handle these robots. And now I just get it. A lot of them come from the internet, or they're new to poker, but they play very well. They put all the hours in. Mom and dad got them, you know, a subscription to Upswing or whatever it is, Run It Once or whatever the hell. And I get it. I don't judge them, but it was a robot. So, you know, whatever. A robot rivers you. What are you going to do? And then a human sits down, and it's a female human. But I've actually had enough of this poker player. She's made some appearances in this podcast. I think we've had several miscommunications, and I've just had enough. One time there was a really drunk player at our table, another woman, and she needed to be taken to her room. And this was, so I asked the other woman player at the table to do it. And I said, we will all pay you to do it, right? Because you're going to miss some of the game. It'll take you half hour to take her up to her room, and we'll all pay you $20. Because this other woman was in bad fucking shape. She needed to be taken to her room. She needed to go to sleep, right? And obviously a fucking guy should not be taking a drunk woman up to her room. It's better if a woman does it, right? And so I asked her, I said, we'll all pay you $20. So that would be like, she was going to make like over $100, you know, just to take. And anyway, she took that the wrong way. And it's, we've had a few misunderstandings, and I think there's a communication gap, and I don't even care. I'm just over her. But she sits down, and at least she's not, you know, at least she's not the best poker player, and she's got some mid drift. So, you know, everything's gray, isn't it? Anyways, I open 10-7 of diamonds late, and this guy wearing a muscle hoodie calls. He defends. So I just open, and he defends his big blind. I have 10-7 of diamonds, and he's wearing a hoodie that's like muscle shirt, and it's pretty cool. I like it. And I flop big here. It comes jack, 10-7, two clubs. And part of being perceptive is knowing other players who are perceptive. And this guy seems perceptive. And robots are not very perceptive. This guy's not a robot, just a young guy, you know, in shape, wearing a muscle hoodie. And so he's going to know that I'm going to bluff a shit ton and semi-bluff just relentlessly. And jack 10-7 with two clubs is a hand built for semi-bluffs, right? But I have two pair. So I opened to 30. Now I bet 40. He calls. The turn is a great card. It's an offsuit deuce. He checks. I look at him a little bit, and I bet $100. He calls. And the river is a brick, 5. So you can't get a better run out for your hand here. And I bet now I'm at the sticky street, right? And I bet $350. And I have, you know, I flopped bottom two, and I just bet three times, and I ramped it up on the river, which is what you should do, because that's when everyone calls. They can fold a turn. They can't fold a river. And he thought for a second and called, and my hand was good. And I won a nice pot there. I won over $500 with 10-7 suited. I flopped good, and it was a board where people, if I have ace-king, ace-queen, king-queen, if I have 10-9, you know, all these hands I'm just going to keep semi-bluffing with in this guy's mind. And I probably wouldn't against a player like him, but I would against a robot who's going to finally give up their top pair or whatever. So it was just, I'm not trying to take any credit for this. I just flopped bottom two, and I won a nice pot. And now it's time for a best play nominee. So I open ace-king, and I get 6 fucking callers. So all these kids probably think I'm the spot, and I'm not. I've won more probably than all of them combined in live poker. Probably, almost certainly. But anyways, who gives a shit? I look like I'm 47 years old. I got a fucking shield on. I have a beer and a cocktail, and I'm straddling and playing a bunch of hands. So I open, I have ace-king, and I get 6 callers. Okay, and I've shown lots of aggression, so they're going to 3-bet me less, right? And it comes jack, deuce, deuce with 2 diamonds. And I bet 70 in here into, I bet a third of the pot. I bet 70 into 210. And an older dude who sat down. So one of the young guys got up, and we got an older dude who looks maybe like he's going to be good for the game. He calls, and I think I might have played with this guy before. He calls, and I know he has a jack. And then Annie's twin brother calls, and I know he has a flush draw. I know I'm locked in, right? When I'm drinking sugar-free Red Bull and Kettle One and a splash of soda and I'm not blacked out, that's bad for the opponents. I'm locked. I know exactly what this guy, this guy's a jack, this guy's a flush draw. Okay, give me a good card and I'm going to bet a lot and I'm going to take it down. And I have ace king. And if maybe the flush draw will call, but that's fantastic because I can beat the flush draw. Anyways, the turn is a jack. Okay, now I'm dead. Now I have to give up. And they both had exactly what I thought they had. I lost the pot, but my best play because, you know, when you have six callers, a seven-way pot, you don't always want to be bluffing the flop and jack, but jack, deuce, deuce, two-tone with ace, king. I do like betting a third here. And then, because I'm going to know what people have when they call and you have leverage and all that. And it just, was a horrible turn. They both turned me and, yeah, the one guy had jacks full and he won the pot. Good for him. And the guy, so now someone does something at the table that is almost unheard of during World Series of Poker time. It was jarring. It was eye-opening. The guy with the muscle hoodie, you know what he did? He started talking. Oh my God, I was shocked. I was floored. He started talking at the poker table. I know. Unfucking believable. And he was pretty funny. And his name was Kyle. And I think maybe the dealer said, "Are you Kyle?" from like the player's card shit, you know, on his little iPad that's built in the table. And he said, "Yeah." And he told the table that there are a lot of Kyles and there's a Facebook group for Kyles. And they have a meetup where just like 3,000 Kyles just go meet up in like, I think there's a place called like Kyle, Oklahoma or Kyle, Texas or something. This guy's talking at the poker table. It's revolutionary. And suddenly everyone is off edge, right? Because everyone's just on edge. Even I was like playing like very calculated and, you know, very like focused and I'm folding hands and just like, you know, it's because this is when poker is a sport, when everyone's just sitting around not talking. They don't realize that everyone's just playing switch thumb in this spot. If everyone's trying their hardest, the game's not worth playing. It doesn't matter if they're like exceptional poker players or not. It's just not worth playing. And it's too slow. The rake isn't huge in Bellagio 510, but it's still $7 a half hour. But now some guy is being a human being and being funny. And suddenly someone's prone to making a mistake now because they're going to be thinking about that. They're going to be, "Oh, fuck it. I'll call here. I'll gamble even though I don't have the right price." Before it's like, "Nope, I do not have the right price by 2%. I must fold." That kind of shit. That's what even I'm thinking. But now it's like, all right, fuck. We're human beings on a, you know, a Wednesday night. Is that right? A Wednesday night? Yeah. A Wednesday night. The eve of the World Series of Poker 2021. And I don't know. Props to Kyle, the guy with the hoodie that showed off his guns. And anyways, we need to get those on Poker Rags. Hoodies that show off your guns. I kind of like that. But so everyone feels better. You can just sense that. And other people start talking and it was really a big moment for the poker world. But not much is happening in hands. And I'm lagging it up. I am now if it feels more what? I feel like I can get away with more. Before, if I play too many hands, I'm just gonna get 3-bet to death. And I know this shit from, you know, many, many World Series of Pokers in Vegas. And, but you know, and I'm a little amped up from my drinks. I used to drink sugar-free Red Bull all the time. And I just started doing it again I'm not going to do it a lot because I know it's bad for my blood pressure and all that, but I'm just like a little bit amped up and I get pocket aces, which I had in the 2-5 game. And now I got in the 5-10 game. And this guy that's come and hung out a few times, he's a friend of a friend. He's a poker pro. I think he had a big score in some tournament, you know, and then now is a reg in the top section, a Bellagio or whatever. He opens and someone calls and I pocket aces. And that's pretty good, right? Especially with my image. And I three bet to 130. I think he opened to 30 and someone called. I went to 120 or 130. I don't remember. Maybe 140 I went to. And then the guy on my left, the mate on my left went to 300. So a small, cold 4-bet. And it folded back to me and I pocket aces. And what to do here? We probably have 1600 each to start the hand. And I know this guy is, you know, he obviously knows to cold 4-bet a lot in this day and age. So you have two options. If you know the player and they're going to barrel off, like if it's against me, you could flat with aces because I'm going to barrel off all the time. I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know if he's just a pre-flop warrior or if he's going to actually go for it after the flop. I'm just not going to give him a free flop. So I just go to 740 and he snap folds. So he just was super light and that's okay. If he wasn't going to barrel post-flop, then it would have been a big mistake to just flat with aces out of position. Anyways, it's just debatable. Sometimes when you're, I don't think you should get, it's just debatable with different stacks, right? Maybe we were 2K effective. Yeah, we're probably 2K effective. So I don't know, 200 big blinds. It's just, I don't know, it's debatable. I could have just called the small cold 4-bet, but I think he was probably just going to play like his hand after that. And it's the worst if you just give someone a free flop and then they have like 7-8 suited and come 7-8 deuce and you end up losing a big pot. I don't know. It was debatable, but he snap folded and yeah. So I don't have a problem with just always putting money in when you're ahead and charging. So the next note is someone opens, they seem weak. It might have been Annie's twin brother and you know, someone calls and I'm in the big blind and I just kind of had folded for a little bit and I just kind of looked at both and I just made it a bunch with 9-5 of diamonds and they both folded. And then I go take a piss and on my way back, I see this guy that's made many appearances in this podcast. He's a Yang Gang. I used to be Yang Gang. I think Andrew Yang, the consensus is that he's not great. Now it seems like, I don't know anything about politics, but he had captured my imagination at the beginning, just some shit he was saying, and I don't know, maybe he's a joke, who knows, but this guy was Yang Gang, I was Yang Gang back in the day, I bet on Yang to win president, just a stone cold whale move, right? And anyways, this guy was one of the few good pros that I would play against when I was at the Venetian. He was the only good pro I'd play against, typically. There are other good pros, but you know, he was the one in there all the time. And then he's playing Bellagio 5-10. And I said he's good, right? And now he's a dealer. And I don't, you know, that's just a note. I don't take any, like, satisfaction in that. But it tells the story of this shit is rough. Being a live poker pro is fucking rough. If one thing doesn't get you, another will, right? Most people just aren't good enough. Just knowing what to do, like, theoretically is not good enough. You're not going to make it as a poker pro. Unless, you know, your parents kick you down a ton of money. But you're just not. You have to have other things. You have to be able to make huge folds and huge calls and huge bluffs that you wouldn't be able to make online. So because it's just too slow otherwise. And you have to run good. And so if one thing doesn't get you, another will. Most people just aren't good enough and they have no idea. They win a tournament, a jackpot, they go on a heater and they think, oh, I'm good enough. I'm going to be a pro. Okay, well, you're going to get unplugged and then it'll be a harsh reality check or whatever. You know what I mean? And then some people just run so bad. Maybe they are good. Like I had a friend who's one of the top 5 or 10 players I've ever played against in my life, and he couldn't win in the year 2008. He could not win. He ran so bad. And, you know, and then sometimes just the swings will drive you crazy, and they'll give you anxiety, and people need to be medicated sometimes from becoming poker pros. Seen it a lot, actually, or the pit will get you, or whatever. And anyways, this guy was one of the few players that I said was good that I played against, and is now a dealer. And that's got to be a big slice of humble pie to go from, you know, playing, sitting with thousands to now dealing and having people treat you like shit. Sometimes people treat dealers like shit. And I don't know. It's just a note. It's just, I forever have not taken any satisfaction when I see someone fall from the ranks, right? And I've fallen from the ranks a couple times, and it's never been about poker. And I don't know what it is with this guy, but it was just kind of interesting to see him. And the next thing I see in the room is the Air Jordan shirt, a gray shirt with a black silhouette of Michael Jordan going in for a dunk with his legs spread. It's a cool shirt. It's not as good as the punter shirt on PokerX. They remind me of, like, when I see the Jordan shirt, I think of the punter shirt. I think ours is better. And, you know, that's totally objective, of course. Another note, because this game isn't not, you know, I'm folding a shit ton because it's just such a bad game. And, but now a lady sits down. So slowly, some pieces are moving. Some young guys are going wherever they're going. They're going to eat vegan soup and talk about poker and work out in the morning. I don't know what they're going to do. But a lady's in, and she has a fucking, a new kind of, so I got a shield that comes down, you know, it's got that not styrofoam, but a cushion up on your forehead, and then a shield, and it says M Life, right? And she's got like a, it looks like a fucking chin guard shield. So it looks like a hockey player, like a hockey goalie, or a catcher has that thing. Her shield only goes up to like her nose. And I don't know. I want to get one of those. Well, it looks good. I like it. And now I need a sip of coffee. I'm going to tell you about my worst play. So, back in the days of Red Chip Hell, that would be season 1, season 2, mostly. Just me getting my own slice of humble pie, playing red chip poker for the first time in my entire career, because 2017 was just too rough in all ways, on a personal level, on a financial level. I was playing in big games and I was a wreck, but I also just kept getting the money in good and losing. So both things, and then some sessions I would play bad, but all that is true, right? And so I had my own humble pie of playing it, you know, red chip poker for the first time in my career, and I called it Red Chip Hell, especially at the Venetian. And then I started focusing on the characters, and that's when this podcast got a little bit better, when I'd focus on the different characters that I'd come across, and some people that made an appearance in this podcast fairly regularly. There was a whale family. I don't think I called them that at the time, but it was a mom, a dad, and a daughter, and they all played in these games, and they were all, you know, not the best poker players in the world. And the mom walks up to this lady with the chin guard, and now I put it together. Oh shit, she's part of the whale family. Here we go. And she just won a big pot, and she limps under the gun. Okay, so she has a weak hand. Folds around to me in the small blind. This is my worst play. I have jack six offsuit, and I go to 50. Okay, but I have the one, like, aggressive, perceptive player on my left, the guy that cold four bet me and snap folded, right, when I had aces, and he flats the 50 from the big blind, and I think he's going to be fairly wide here, and when he flats, it's actually worse for me than when he, you know, three bets. He's just always going to have a good hand when he flats, and she folds. So I was just trying to steal his 10 and her 10, and I have jack 6 offsuit, but just one of those things, I just need to let these little spots go. If I'm the big blind, it's that close, right? So you realize someone's a whale, and I don't say that in a bad way. Just has money and plays for fun. That's how you should do it, actually. Anyways, she just won a big pot. She limps another gun. Okay, I'm going to bluff her. 100 out of 100 times if I'm the big blind and it folds to me. But I was a small blind, and that's enough with a hand like Jack 6 offsuit to just throw it away. Yeah. So anyways, the flop came. She folded, and it came ace 10 8, and I bet 50 again. And I'm just hoping, like, to, you know, fold out whatever. It was just bad. I should check here, and I bet. And he called, and I just shut it down. He had ace 3 suited. And it was $100 I lit on fire. And I said I could have put that towards craps. I don't know why I was thinking about craps, but I was. Okay. And then Kyle, the guy with the, what is it, a muscle hoodie. I like that. I feel like if you're in shape, go ahead and show off your guns. Why not? And he was the one who started talking at this table. That was amazing. He made trips, and I had a bluff catcher. I don't remember what it was. And I paid him off small. He didn't bet a ton. And, yeah, so he won that. And I wrote, fucking Kyle. Anyways, I knew I was going to play a short session. I only played this session for content. The game was never good. And I only played 2 hours. But I did win a life and a half, mainly because I kind of had my way with Annie's twin brother a couple times. And also I flopped 2 pair with 10-7, and I got just a pure fucking run out for a lag. And Kyle looked me up. And anyways, 2 hours, won a life and a half. So not bad. But this game was kind of eye-opening. Like, fuck, is the whole World Series of Poker going to be like this? Like, it's not worth playing. I'd rather do anything else than play. I mean, it's just, your win rate's going to be so low, and my biggest issue is going to be not getting frustrated and staying patient. Like, I don't know. So, anyways, let's go cash out, and then we're going to walk over the sports book here at the Bellagio, and we'll check the STP scores. And then I'm getting picked up by a beautiful woman, and we're heading to Herbs and Rye. And that's not a brag. It's just a story. Okay. So walk with me over here to the cage, and see, you can see in Bobby's room now all these guys that I used to battle with when I was spiraling down to rock bottom, and you know, they manage their money and whatever else, and they're sitting in a game that's 10 times the stakes of the game I was just playing, and maybe 10 times better, not 10 times, but at least 3 times better. You can just see there, look at that. Okay, it's fine, let's go cash out. All right. Yep, here you go. Here's a tip. Thank you very much. All right, now walk with me over to the sports book. And we're gonna walk by the top section. And so I guess there's 3 tiers at Bellagio. The floor where we just played, the top section in Bobby's room. And top section, you can see a lot of people I've battled with too. That same period of time. And then you can also see a ton of new people. That's the rule in poker, is people get washed out, new ones come in. And you can also see that game looks much better than the one I was in. Anyways, let's go over here to the sports book and check these scores. Okay. All right, here we are. All right, look up there. Under the first, see, NBA, MLB, you don't care about that shit. You care about STP, Save the Princess. First line under that STP, it says hours 402 of 390. So after 39 weeks, if the goal is to play 10 hours a week, which was a lofty goal at the beginning of the year, because I was so uninspired to play poker, and it's good. You know, you got to set realistic goals. So 10 hours a week, given everything else I have going on. First, I'm a father, a single father to 2. And also, this podcast is my third child. It really is. And the community that I'm building is a lot, and Poker Rags, and you get it, right? So 10 hours, 39 weeks. You're going to need to be at 390 hours. We're at 402, so we're ahead of pace. And also, this makes sense because we had 398 hours after week 38. And I only played 4 more hours in week 39. 2 in the session you just heard about, right? That started at 2-5 and ended at 5-10. I had a shield on and some cocktails. I felt like me a little bit again. And then 2 hours in the first session I played this week, last night at the Venetian. So if you want to hear about that session review, so this is Wednesday night. If you want to hear about the one from Tuesday night, Plus, you want to hear my life story shit for this week, just sign up to become a patron at patreon.com/DGAFpokerplayer for $4.22 a month or more. And again, if you want to be a part of the community and or you want the content and you can convince me that you can't afford $4.22 a month, I will fucking Venmo it to you. I will. So anyways, 1 week of every month, all the drops are going to be public. And that's the week that I'm going to be commentating at Hustler Casino Live. And I'm going to be playing my sessions exclusively, my LA sessions exclusively at the Hustler Casino. And it's working out well. We figured out a way for them to be a sponsor of this podcast, my first sponsor, and it hasn't changed the content at all. They're part of the story now. Sean Yapel's part of the story. He's a patron. The GM of the Hustler is a patron. That says a lot about him and what they're doing over there, and you already know about Ryan Feldman. And the other casinos are getting extra nitty in LA. They're taking away all their fucking player points and all this shit, and so it works out well that I'm working with the one casino that wants to do things the right way. And they do. Their odds, even in the pits, like their odds on fucking, what's that shit called? In the Baccarat. What's it called? Panda? Dragon. I think it's Dragon. Anyways, their odds are just like a little bit better. They want to, you know, do well long term. They're thinking, I don't know. Just, it's very, it worked out very well. But anyways, when I'm up there for a week, I'm going to commentate five nights a week, and I'm going to play two nights at least. Next year, it'll be three. And those will always be public when I'm up in LA, which means up at the Hustler, right? Because that's my sponsor, and that's how we decide to do it. Otherwise, most of the shit's going to be private or behind a paywall, right? And so and when you sign up for that $4.22 a month, as soon as your first payment goes through, oh, I think your RSS feed will work, and that means you get your own feed, and you don't have to do much. You just click two buttons. There's instructions when you sign up, and you also become a member of the community if you want, and community is pretty insane. We got a meetup coming up. You're going to hear about that soon, and there's just so much content. This is the fourth season of sessions. There's about 700 drops total. I got interviews with all kinds of people that you would find interesting, and, you know, some of your poker heroes. I know Garrett Adelstein is considered the top dog in the live poker world right now for good reason. Matt Berkey has an amazing story and he's an amazing dude. I've just interviewed a lot of people. Matt Moore is, if you remember him from Another Kid, Another Dream on 2+2, good interviews with him and so on. And just, there's good stuff on the vaccine in case you're tentative. I don't know. That's for $4.20 a month. You get all the content. You can fall asleep every night listening to my slow Southern California drawl, if that's what that's called. And or you can, you know, every day of your commute, you're going to have something, whatever. It's not much. Again, if you can't afford it, hit me up and I'll Venmo you that $4.22. If, you know, if you're being real. Okay. And anyways, let's go. Let's keep going here. Because, as mentioned, a beautiful woman is going to pick me up. And we're going to go to Herbs and Rye, which is an amazing place to go to late night. Before I fly back in the morning. So, to San Diego to be with my kids. Okay. The second line, if you look up there, under STP, it says Poker Rags, 870 of 718. So, this is the line we're crushing. And we had a bad week last week. We had a better week this week. And let me tell you who scored points for us in week 39. Who the MVP was and who got Employee of the Week. Okay, and it's, you know, it's up there, but it's so small, and you guys can't see it, but I can see it. Jack from Scranton, Pennsylvania got us a point. Thank you, Jack. Mike from Fishers, Indiana, 2 points. Thank you, Mike. Average size Robert, that's a patron, from Seminole, Florida, 3 points. 3 points is the qualifier to be MVP. So some weeks it's going to get you MVP. Some weeks people are going to be putting up huge numbers. And unfortunately for Average Size Robert, this is one of those weeks. Jose Skin, another patron from Denton, Texas, put up 5 points. Thank you very much, Jose Skin. Again, many weeks. Last week, both you and Average Size Robert would have won MVP. Either of you would have. Well, this week we had a heavyweight, a heavy hitter come in, and this person clicked, and then their hand probably started cramping from adding items to their cart on PokerEggs.us, and they just fought through the fucking pain. And if you guys don't mind chanting MVP real quick before I reveal who this person is. Your week 39 most valuable purchaser at PokerEggs is none other than Patron, in budding poker legend, multiple bracelet winner, Brandon Shaq Harris, who got 12 points. Holy shit. That's a big, you know, it's clear. This man's hand started cramping and he just kept clicking because he has the heart of a lion, and we appreciate that. Congratulations, Brandon Shaq Harris. I know this is probably one of the biggest moments of your life, and for good reason. And anyways, we appreciate it, and congratulations. And you helped us get to 23 points total for the week, and that's a nice bounce back week. And thank you, you know, to all of you. And it says Employee of the Week, Mel, and that's our new designer. And it says on her grind, and the Nevada Gaming Commission is correct. She has been on her grind lately, and that's all it takes. Everyone has their own grind at PokerEggs. If everyone does it, the owners, the thing takes off. It just does. It becomes this thing that is much bigger than probably any of them even can fathom right now. But it's on a platter for us, and Mel's been on her grind. And the Nevada Gaming Commission recognized that, and I'm cool with that. And yeah, and again, thank you to the 5 customers who put points on the PokerEggs line in week 39. If you listening would also like to put points on this line, thus literally becoming part of the story by helping to keep the podcast going while sprucing up your wardrobe with the most comfortable and cool looking clothes on the planet, head on over to PokerEggs.us and be like Brandon Shaq Harris. Click add to cart. Okay, my hand's a little sore. Find something else. Click add to cart. All right, you got to stretch your hand a little bit. Then you just keep clicking, and then you feel the pain, and you fight through it. You're like a warrior. And anyways, that's all you got to do. PokerEggs.us. Okay. And the third score up there under STP says results 84 of 80. So we had a loss and a win this week, which means we didn't score any points. Get 3 points for a win, minus 3 for a loss. Had 84 points last week, got 84 now, and the pace is 80. So we're slightly ahead of pace. We're at 53 wins and 25 losses this year, which means what? It means we're barely ahead of pace. But it's fine. I haven't been the most focused when I've gone into play. I'm playing at the end of nights after long days of work. And for now, that's just the story. And soon it'll be different. Poker will actually be a focus on my grind, not just something I do for content. Yeah. So, all right. The 4 score up there under STP says Patron's 348 of 390. Okay. That's actually lower than last week. So let me just tell you real quickly what happened, because it's really small. I know you can't see it. I can't. Someone deleted. That's minus 4 points. And then, wow, the MVP, the PokerEggs MVP, Brandon Shaq Harris, was at 20 a month and went to 30 a month. This dude's locked in the reciprocity, pay it forward, whatever. He's just like locked in right now, and I appreciate it a ton. And then someone went from 844 down to 422, which is fine. They're still a patron. We don't lose 4 points. If someone cancels their pledge, we lose 4. If someone signs up, we gain 4. So we just had those 3 things happen this week, and we lost 4 points. And that's why we went from 352 to 348, and we're well behind pace. Unfortunate. We finally were ahead of pace, but it was a mirage. And that's because some people they found a loophole. Good for them, I guess. Whatever. Nits. So let's talk about the score, the fifth and final line under STP. It is a consolidation of the four scores you just heard about. And it's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we score 2,022 points total by December 19th of this year, that's the cutoff, Sessions lives on in the year 2022. All right. This one says 1704 of 1577. So we're ahead of pace, a little more than 100 points ahead of pace, and we're 78% of our way through the journey, trying to save the princess. How do we save the princess? Like Super Mario Bros. We save the princess by getting to 2,022 points. And, you know, we're more than 3/4 of the way through the journey. It should get interesting down the stretch because we have a sweat again. And interesting note, the Nevada Gaming Commission says, so the way it works on PokerRags is if you order an item, you can order stickers, but those don't count, but we appreciate it. They don't count towards the scoreboard. But if you order an item, it's a point. And all year long, it's been if you order an item off of my page on Team PokerRags, it's 2 points. Nevada Game Commission is tightening the screws a little bit. They say only the It's Just the Story, which is the name of this week. And so they say only It's Just the Story items are worth 2 points moving forward for the rest of the year. It's tough, man. Life's tough, you know, but it's okay. We're going to say our goodbyes here. I'm going to fist bump all of you here outside the Bellagio Sportsbook. But before we do that, I want to thank everyone who has put points on this scoreboard, this STP scoreboard, in a make or break season 4. And a very special thank you, of course, to all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something. And I will see everyone, patrons, non-patrons, you name it, sneaky fake patrons, all of them tomorrow for a very candid drop titled It's Just the Story, Final Pages. And oh yeah, whether you are a patron or not, or even a fake fucking patron, whether you typically listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. What's any? It's Just the Story means, like, don't judge me. Just let me entertain you with brutal honesty, crazy life story, some old school but also world-class poker play, and some other stuff sometimes too. You get it? Cool. Where have all the good men gone and where are all the gods? I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. Isn't there a white knight upon the fire street? And if you're not a patron, late at night at first, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? I'm holding out for a hero. Princess, I'm doing the outro. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. And that's a lot of stuff. I'm holding out for a hero. Princess, I know, we're trying. He's gotta be strong, he's gotta be soon and he's gotta be larger than life. Larger than life? I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player, because otherwise...